5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show live from the Ochchain Community Studios here on this Big Red Monday. Josh Rosen is the story of the day.
Shotgun snap, Rosen's first NFL pass over the middle, caught at the 35-yard line right at the sticks. It's Jermaine Gresham, which will be the answer to the trivia question down the road, and it is a Cardinal first down.
The next trivia question when it comes to Josh Rosen, what team did he make his first start against in his NFL career? And the answer to that question will be the Seattle Seahawks. It was announced today by Steve Wilks.
Yeah.
To the surprise of virtually no one. I'm sure there were a few people who were somewhat surprised by today.
No, would it be?
Possibly.
I mean, some people might have said that, you know, hey, maybe go to Bradford for one more game, or
I wasn't surprised at all.
I mean, this was the no-brainer decision of the year here. I mean, Sam Bradford can't play anymore. Can't play. I mean, the guy's played 11 quarters.
Yes.
12
quarters, 11 have been terrible.
11 have been terrible. He can't play anymore. I don't know what happened. What happened to Sam? I don't know. We never expected this Sam Bradford. We thought the Sam Bradford could get hurt. He could get injured. But did we ever expect that Sam Bradford would go out there and lay an egg, be so bad on the football field that he would be benched in the third game? No.
Never.
We never expected that because we'd never seen it before.
Yep.
The Sam Bradford who had played when he was healthy had played well. Had succeeded, had moved to offenses, had put up good numbers. So this has been shocking. But it was pretty obvious that he's gun-shy. He's afraid to get hit. He's getting rid of the ball so quickly now so he doesn't get hit. And I just don't think that he has it anymore. I think it's gone.
Steve Wilks was on the Bickley and Marotta show today, minutes after he made his announcement and his decision, and he elaborated with the guys that Rosen is more than ready for this.
I think Josh is more than ready for this opportunity. Very confident. You look at his athleticism, his skill set, his accuracy, his arm strength, all that. We got to do a great job of, you know, working around him, meaning everybody got to be able to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Protection, running the football, coming off, receivers running great routes. So he's going to have some growing pains, some bumps, but I'm very excited about what he can do moving forward.
And he also clarified the timing of the decision on Sunday about bringing him in. A lot of people were like, man, 4.5 minutes, that's an awful tough spot to put a rookie quarterback in when you're down by two. He said he actually made the decision after the Bradford fumble when there were 11 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah,
but because the Bears had such a long drive.
The Bears went on a long drive. There was the Trey Boston penalty, personal foul penalty for hitting a defenseless receiver that was in that drive that the Bears ended up kicking a field goal. Listen, they're up 14-0. Their next six drives went nowhere. They had 5 first downs total. 2 of them were interceptions. 1 of them was a fumble. What are you supposed to do? You really want to come back out there with Bradford after he just had 3 turnovers in his last 3 possessions?
Yeah, it was a real damned if you don't kind of thing. I mean, it was a tough spot to put Rosen in. There's no doubt about it. But if you put Sam out there, you're also putting your
Let's discuss this for a second. They go back to Bradford with 4.5 minutes left.
Uh-huh.
And they go nowhere. Are we not criticizing Wilks right now? Like, why? When are you going to go to Rosen?
Oh, sure.
What do you got to... The guy had 2 picks and a fumble. So if they had... We haven't thought about this, but think for a second. Had he gone back to Bradford after Bradford was laying on the ground for 10 seconds and conceded, you know, 3 turnovers in a row, the offense was going nowhere.
There's no doubt.
If he goes back to Bradford with 4.5 minutes left and Bradford can't move the ball,
yeah.
Are we not sitting here ripping Wilks for not going to Rosen?
We are sitting here and we are ripping Wilks for that. There's no doubt about it.
Of course we are.
Kurt Warner, the great former quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, the Hall of Famer, was on the NFL Network today, gave his thoughts about Josh Rosen starting.
Well, it's one of those things that once you go to him, it's hard to go back to the veteran. And you know what we've seen is the offense hasn't been clicking. Not going to blame it all on Sam Bradford, but we all know that the quarterback position gets highlighted, especially when you got a young guy waiting in the wings. And so they need a spark. They need to do something different offensively. So you go to the young guy. I'm not sure it's going to solve all the issues because there's a lot of issues with that team right now.
Okay, but you know what? That's the thing.
Kurt went through this in New York with the Giants, Eli Manning. They went to Eli for a spark. Kurt got benched.
Yeah.
He's gone through. He knows what Bradford's going through right now.
But I don't, with all due respect to Kurt, I love Kurt. All right. I don't need it to solve all the issues. That's not why I'm doing it. If I'm Steve Wilks and the Cardinals, I'm doing it because at 0-3, there's nothing else to do. 2018 is now about 2019. And when you're at 0-3 and your chances of making the playoffs as an 0-3 team have gone out the window and we're still at 100 degrees outside, there's nothing else to do but get the rookie first-round pick, your future franchise quarterback, ready for next year. It's the only thing, frankly, that your fans can get excited about when it comes to an 0-3 football team.
Yeah.
So you don't do it because he's going to fix all of the issues out there. You hope he fixes some. You hope he fixes most of them. Most importantly, I want to start to see the reasons why the Cardinals made him their franchise quarterback of the future so that I can feel better about next year.
Does he fix why Larry Fitzgerald was only targeted two times?
No.
Does he fix why David Johnson only got 12 carries?
No.
I mean, there's a lot of things you could look at and say, I don't know if he fixes these things or not. But I did say this early, and I believe this. There are 13 games left in the season. I mean, there's still time to, you know, there's a lot of season left. I'm not saying the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs because Josh Rosen is here. But they did make this change with a lot of season left. Let's see what the kid could do. Beat Seattle. Okay, you beat Seattle. Now you got one win. Then you got the 49ers with no Garoppolo. Win that game. Now you're 2-3. So you just got to see. You got to play it out. I'm not saying that this team's going to make the playoffs. I'm more in line with they're probably going to win four or five games right now, like what everybody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But you gave yourself plenty of opportunities to fix a lot of the issues over 13 games. You're right. We're not going to fix all the issues. Right away. But over time, maybe he does get Chad Williams more involved in the offense.
Sure.
Or maybe he does get other players, J.J. Nelson or somebody, or Larry Fitzgerald, and, you know, back to catching six balls for 80 or 90 yards in a game. You know, maybe he could do that. Because Bradford certainly wasn't. I mean, Sam Bradford, or Larry Fitzgerald got two targets in a football game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's Larry freaking Fitzgerald. Seriously?
And maybe Josh Rosen is the kind of quarterback that Mike McCoy can function better with. Because right now, Mike McCoy is the offensive coordinator at the play caller of this team. Isn't functioning very well with Sam Bradford. Hasn't been all year. I mean, it's just been awkward and clunky and not pleasant to watch. Maybe Josh Rosen is the type of quarterback that will just mesh better with the kind of game that Mike McCoy needs to call. And maybe he couldn't call with Sam Bradford as his quarterback. And maybe I'm grasping when I say something like that. All I know is, I am, for an 0-3 football team, I'm excited to see what's next because they've got their franchise quarterback on the roster.
You're running a play. You got two wide receivers out left and a tight end, so Tripp's left. You got a wide receiver out right. You've got a running back in the backfield. You drop back to pass. A good quarterback, a Kurt Warner, who's good at reading a defense, is a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady. They're gonna read. Let me read that play. So it's not like this is the play you have to throw it to this guy. This is the preferred play. If that's not open, then this is the second preferred play. So I'm going to look at this out pattern. Okay, that's not open. Now I'm going to look at the hook in the middle. That's not open. Now I'm going to look at the guy running the slant. Okay, that's open. I'm going to hit him. Bradford was not doing any of that. None of it. He was not making any reads. Bradford was dropping back and throwing the ball to whoever the first guy was. Now, is that on McCoy or is that on Bradford? I don't know. I'm going to try to find out. But is that Bradford just being afraid and trying to get rid of the ball? But there is no way from the film that I have that Sam Bradford is ever looking at making his reads and progressions down the field.
Yeah.
Because a good quarterback is going to take a look. That's not open. Okay. Look over here. That's not open. Take a look over here. And if nothing's open, then you dump it off to the running back. You know, your safety net. But most good quarterbacks are going to make the read. You know, it takes a couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple of seconds to make those reads, and maybe Sam didn't want to wait the extra couple of seconds.
NBA 2K19 is available everywhere for Xbox One. This year, you can start your path from neighborhood legend to global phenomenon in the all-new My Career mode featuring an all-star Hollywood cast. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to win a copy on Xbox One right now. Now, it was a play that killed a Cardinals scoring drive. Is it also going to be the end for Sam Bradford? We'll talk about that coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know Infinity from Marvin's fiberglass frames are 8 times stronger than vinyl? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
There will be four first-round rookie quarterbacks starting in Week 4. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. The only other season in NFL history that had four first-round rookie quarterbacks all start in the same week was 2012.
I'm not even going to guess. Go ahead.
Andrew Luck.
Okay.
RG3.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Brandon Whedon.
Oh, Brandon Whedon.
One of these things is not like the other.
Exactly.
How old was he then?
Brandon Whedon was 46 28? Years old when he made that start.
Wow.
For the. No, I don't know. I don't know how old he was. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, among Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, and Allen, who's Luck? Who's RG3? Who's Tannehill?
I mean, all of these guys may be good. All of them may be bad. Two of them may be good. We don't know.
I mean,
you need time to play it out. Mayfield looked really good. He looked fantastic.
He's going to have his struggles, though. They all will. Don't you think?
Sure, of course.
As exciting as his debut was, I think he's bound for the same thing that happened to Sam Darnold. Darnold looked good in Week 1. He looked terrible in Week 3.
Yeah.
That's the rookie
John Elway
roller coaster.
John Elway, two-time Super Bowl winner, Hall of Famer. 7 touchdowns, 14 interceptions in his first season at a quarterback rating of 54.9. 7 touchdowns, 14 interceptions in his first season.
Sure.
I mean, it's just...
Doesn't Peyton Manning still hold the record?
Oh, he was for interceptions
most interceptions
in a season.
In a season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
his rookie
first,
year? He's terrible.
Peyton Manning's rookie year in the NFL, he threw 28 interceptions, more interceptions than touchdowns his first year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are some examples of guys that play good right away, but not everybody. I mean, Andrew Luck threw 18 interceptions in his first season in the NFL. He had a quarterback rating of 76.5. I mean, he was okay. He was all right. Nothing special. Completion percentage of 54.
Mm-hmm.
It was the lowest of his career. I mean, so it's obviously all of these teams are getting these guys ready for the future. But the future's now. But none of them are expecting to... Cleveland's not expecting to compete for a Super Bowl right now. They're trying to take a step to be relevant. Buffalo's not trying to compete for a Super Bowl right now. The Jets aren't trying to compete for a Super Bowl right now. Although with the Patriots being so bad, I mean, who knows what could happen in the AFC East.
That was surprising.
Enjoy this while I can.
Back-to-back double-digit losses for the first time since, 2002, I think, for the Patriots?
Oh, yeah, they got their butts whipped last night. So none of these teams that have these rookie quarterbacks are expecting to compete for a championship right now.
So with Rosen getting the start, there was a moment in yesterday's game, and I think we all can remember it.
Shotgun snap to Bradford, 5-step drop, steps out of the pocket. Now going to take off straight ahead. He fumbles the ball as he gets drilled, and the Bears recover it. Recovered at the 17-yard line. And Bradford is still down. Bradford face first in the turf, maybe just out of frustration. He got hit and fumbled the ball.
And it was in that moment
where Mick was in the corner. Stay down! Stay down! Stay down! Don't get up!
It was in that moment where I'm sure the thought, like a bubble, like a little balloon, went in Sam Bradford's head. God, is that it? Is that it? Because they're going to pull me. They're going to pull me for 3 straight possessions with 3 turnovers. They're not going to put me back in this game.
No.
Is that it? When it comes to me, my career here in Arizona, and I think...
We can assume. I mean, I don't know. I mean, only he could tell us. He was down for a while. And at first, you thought he was hurt. But then you wonder if it just flashed before. I'm like, I can't play anymore. Like, this is it. There comes a time when you just... You know, that might have been it for him. Like, I just can't...
In all likelihood, it was just...
I'm not good. I can't do this anymore.
It was frustration in the moment, frustration of what had happened in the game. But I do wonder if that thought bubble popped into his head like, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this it? Because if you look now at the situation, you could make the argument that if things go well for Josh Rosen and he stays healthy, that Sam Bradford might have played his last down as a quarterback in this league in that moment right there.
Who's going to want him? Nobody's going to trade for him. How many people have asked me, can you get a 6th rounder for him? Can you get a 7th rounder for him? No.
Who's going to give up a 6th rounder for a quarterback who's played as poorly as he has this year?
No, you can't.
With that contract.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Now, yeah, it's not going to happen. You know, you can't. He's not getting traded. He's played too poorly. And then next year, he's not going to be on anybody's radar.
No.
Nobody's going to have Sam Bradford on their radar. I mean, this very well. I mean, if you said one way or the other, okay, bet a mortgage payment on it. Do I think his career is over? Yeah, I think his career is over. I mean, I'm not sure. I would lean towards this is it. He's done. He's not going to play again.
Steve Wilks, in making the announcement today, how did Sam Bradford take the news that he was getting benched for Josh Rosen?
Sam Bradford is a pro, you know, he's going to do everything he can, all right, to help Josh out as he has before. And Josh, again, was excited about the opportunity, and I'm excited for him.
Was the change more about Bradford or more about Rosen?
I think it's a little both. Greg, I think it's a little both. I'm very pleased and happy what I think Josh is going to be able to bring to the table. And then again, you know, we just didn't have a lot of production at that position in the past. And whether it was all on Sam or whether it was collectively with offensive line, the receivers, running back, you know, we all had a hand in it. But I wanted to make a change, and I think Josh is going to bring something to the table.
But I think, Gambo, this answer, the six-second soundbite when Steve Wilks was asked who was going to be the backup to Josh this week, kind of says a lot in its 6 seconds.
Sam will be the backup as well as Mike Glennon. So, you know, we have three quarterbacks.
A very vague answer, and probably deliberately so given the financials of the situation.
Mike Glennon will be the backup. Sam Bradford will be inactive. I can't see it any other way unless you cut Sam Bradford. I mean, there's no reason to make Sam Bradford. I mean, this is common sense. Why would Sam Bradford be the backup quarterback? And why would he be the backup? Why would you pay a guy $312,000 when he's not part of your future? He's done. Like, he's done. Like, he's mentally spent. He's shot. He can't move the offense. He can't do anything. Glennon's perfectly fine being a backup quarterback in the NFL. Nothing's official. They haven't said it yet, but the fact that Wilks wouldn't go there, the fact that he wouldn't go there,
yep,
and confirm Sam will be the backup next week, I don't think it's his decision. I think it's above him because it's a financial decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's $4 million on the line right here.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
The reason we're talking about it this way is, okay, so he got $10 million, he being Bradford, got a $10 million signing bonus, boom. He's got a $5 million guaranteed salary that he gets paid on a per-game basis. And he gets that whether he's active or inactive.
Right.
The extra money he can make that can push his salary this year to $20 million comes in the form of the $312,000 he gets per game if he's active. If he's not active, he doesn't get that money.
Nope.
So if you're perfectly content to pay Sam Bradford $15 million, if you're the Cardinals, fine. You don't have a choice. You're going to pay him that whether he's on your roster or not, whether he's active or not. But if you don't want to pay him $20 million,
you cut him. Cut him or make him inactive. But it would be a foolish financial business decision to make him the backup quarterback. There's no faith in him as the starter. Why would you have faith in him as the backup?
I mean, sure. And if he's mentally shot as the starter, how do you think he's going to feel when he has to come in if something happens to Josh Rosen? I mean, you think he's got any confidence in himself?
If you
right
feel
now?
Like, listen, I want to keep him around to be a sounding board for, you know, Josh as we go forward, that's what you're keeping him around for. But explain that to him. Hey, you're not going to play. You're going to be inactive every week unless somebody gets injured. So keep yourself ready and focused. You'll get some reps, but you're our third-string quarterback right now.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, part of it is a financial decision. You don't want to pay the guy $4 million over the next 13 games.
On Josh Rosen's Instagram, I just want to read this real quick.
This is good.
Since day one, he writes, Sam has had my back and helped me become the best quarterback I could be. I cannot thank him enough for showing me how to be a professional in every sense of the word. He is a leader, mentor, and a great person. He and Mike Glennon could not have been more supportive at a time that I thought might be a bit tense or awkward today. I couldn't be more thrilled to be in a QB room with two of the most selfless people I've ever been around as I start my career as a quarterback in the NFL. For that, I say thank you. With that being said, let's get the Valley rocking, AZ.
Here we go. Okay, there it is. Now it's saying, you know, thank you to the past. Now let's get to the present. My turn. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go win a football game. Let's go see. Let me go show you guys what I can do. He's been wanting to play. Most pro-ready quarterback, right? Wasn't it? He's the most pro-ready quarterback. Hey, here comes Seattle.
Go get him.
Yeah.
Go get him. Because you fall to 0-4 with a loss to Seattle. That's officially the worst start in the history of the organization since they've been here.
Wow.
Right?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So far, it was one of the biggest plays of the Cardinals season. So why wasn't their best player on the field for it? You're going to get the explanation next. And chances are, you're not going to like it very much. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Just have to pass this along. 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Fitzmagic is alive and well in Tampa Bay. Ryan Fitzpatrick, another touchdown pass. They're up 7-0 against the Steelers.
He made a deal with the devil.
Did you see that you're not allowed to use Fitzmagic for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No. Ooh,
because whoa. Minka Fitzpatrick trademarked Fitzmagic.
Because Minka?
After week two, Minka Fitzpatrick trademarked the phrase Fitzmagic.
So I'm not allowed to say that.
Well,
now?
You're not. According to Minka, he might come after for some residuals on that.
Wow. I had no idea.
Sheesh.
Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, apologies.
All right. Fitzpatrick.
He made a deal with the devil.
He did something.
He sold his soul for a fiddle of gold.
That Steelers team is a mess. Did you see that they're now listening to offers for Le'Veon Bell?
Ready to trade Le'Veon Bell?
The Jets, maybe. I read today were a team that might be interested in a little Le'Veon Bell, potentially.
We'll talk about this tomorrow. What can they get for him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody's got to pay him.
We've been so hyper-focused on this Cardinals team, the decision to go with Josh Rosen, to bench Sam Bradford, what they're going to do with Sam Bradford. And then there's this, and I'll tell you, you were there yesterday. I was watching from the couch at home. You were at the game. In the aftermath of that game, the quarterback decision was almost taking a back seat to the decision on 3rd and 2 to run a counter with the rookie Chase Edmonds and not David Johnson, and not even have David Johnson on the field. It sounded something like this.
So you got three rookies, Mason Cole the center, Josh Rosen, the quarterback, and Chase Edmonds stacked one behind the other on the biggest play of the season, 3rd and 2, and they're going to hand it off for Edmonds running left. He is tackled in the backfield at the 45-yard line for a loss by Bilal Nichols.
All right, let me break the play down for you based on information that I got from being at the game and being able to talk to players and stuff like that. The middle linebacker ran through, so Mike Iupati took the middle linebacker, but he was supposed to stay down in the nose. It's a really tough play because if Iupati doesn't take the middle linebacker running through, then he's going to make the play. So it was a no-win. It wasn't a play that could have succeeded. So the middle linebacker comes through, and I haven't seen the game film yet, but when I do, I'm going to look for this. But the middle linebacker ran through. Iupati took the middle linebacker. He was supposed to stay down in the nose. Tough decision because if he doesn't take the middle linebacker, if he doesn't take the middle linebacker, then the middle linebacker just blasts right through and blows the play up. Either way, the play wasn't going to work. Either way.
Now, yesterday, Steve Wilks had said, hey, look, Chase Edmonds, David Johnson, the play was lost because we didn't block it. To your point, we didn't block it the way we were supposed to up front. David Johnson then today said, well, I wasn't in there on 3rd and 2 because I missed a block the previous play.
Yeah, it was actually the play before, the 3rd and 2. I was the play before that, I missed a blitz. So I had to go to the sideline and talk to Kirby about it because I actually did not see the guy, and that's my guy.
Coaches pulled you on the 3rd and 2 so they could use it as a teaching moment because of something you did on 2nd down?
He called me out to talk about it. Okay. And that's what I hope, and I want my coach to keep me accountable. I want my teammates to keep me accountable. And when I mess up, I want them to tell me. I want Kirby to tell me. I want Wilkes and McCoy to tell me what I did wrong.
Did you get a 2nd down play that you messed up?
The 2nd down play, yeah.
Even in that type of situation?
Yeah, because I have full trust in Chase. Yeah. Everyone has trust in Chase. Everyone, we've been talking about Chase, since he's been on the team and how good of a running back he is, how great of a running back he is. And he's able to do the plays that, that they call. And they don't have any second guess about what is called when he's in there.
No.
Here's the problem with that.
No.
The 2nd and 10 play, what came after the 2nd and 10 play?
Get a 2-minute warning.
You have plenty of time to scold him and get him back out there.
Plenty of time. You had the 2-minute warning.
Was he in timeout? Was he being punished?
I mean, listen,
you can't. You pulled him out of the game, and then you had the 2-minute warning. Like, they went to a commercial break. You couldn't get him back. You didn't want him on the field for third. You had so much time to know that it was 3rd and 2. You didn't want him on the field on 3rd and 2?
This just makes me.
You're beside
this makes
yourself.
Me so angry. No, like, this really does. This
can,
makes
can
me,
we can we cut the BS?
So angry. I mean,
like, can we cut the BS here?
Come on.
You pulled him off the field because you weren't happy, and you punished him, and you ended up punishing yourself.
Ugh.
I mean, again, it's ridiculous. I mean, there was a 2-minute warning after the second down play.
It speaks to something larger here that it just concerns me, Gambo, that there's not like this awareness of, hey, you know what? We'll scold you later. Get back out there. It's 3rd and 2. Hey, game's on the line. We'll scold you later. Get back out there.
That was a big mistake. We're going to talk about it after the game. You need to pick that block up. Get your ass back out there. We need to convert this.
To either not be aware of that or to be aware of it and still choose not to have him out there, all because you think the scheme is so great and the play is as drawn up is so wonderful that it doesn't matter who's back there carrying the ball, that you're going to get it anyway, it actually makes me a little nervous. It makes me a little nervous about this coaching staff. It makes me a little nervous about these decisions. It makes me a little nervous about that was the reason we were. Look, I'm a parent. You're a parent. There are some times where I want to punish my children. They're older now. I can't, but I want to punish my children. And I mean, I could, but not, you know, I can't now.
I guess you still can.
I could if I wanted to. I'm an empty nester, but it just doesn't have the same teeth as
not
it used to.
Not pay for their college, not pay for, yeah.
Yeah, there are times where I've literally said to my kid, okay, you're in trouble, but I have to work right now. When I'm done working, we're going to talk. But right now, I got to get some stuff done so I can't. We can't have this talk right now, but I swear a couple hours from now, when I'm done doing what I need to do, we're going to talk about what you did last night. You couldn't have done that with David Johnson yesterday?
Right.
You couldn't have had
Who did you hurt? You're punishing David Johnson? I mean, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. When my dad used to beat me with the belt, you know, he used to say to me, he goes, son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not.
Actually, Pops, man, it's not. It's going to hurt me more. You're gonna get done, and you're gonna go sit down. I'm not gonna be able to sit down. What? This is good. My father used to say it to me. This is gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. And I used to sit there and be like, "You liar."
One of our colleagues here at the station. I was walking by his desk, and he said, "Bernsey, that was a terrible 5 o'clock buzz read you had. Terrible. So as your punishment, you're gonna sit out the entire 5 o'clock hour." And he was kidding because he was like, you know, something so minor. That's messing up a buzz read, and you're gonna. It's just,
man, win the game. Deal with all that other stuff later.
Yeah,
David Johnson's got to be out there. It was a 2-minute warning. You had plenty of time. Talk about him. Hey, listen, you missed the block there. That's unacceptable. I want to go. We're gonna go over this after the game. We're gonna go over this tomorrow in film room. You got to pick that up. David Johnson did a great job picking up a blitz earlier in the game that allowed Christian Kirk to get free for 30 yards. Picked up a blitz. Did a good job, David Johnson. That is not the time to sit there and try to explain that play to him. It's 3rd and 2. The game is on the line.
He's your best game.
I mean, that's just it's terrible. That's just whoever made the decision to not have him in on the personnel package on 3rd and 2. I mean, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
And that's exactly it. Who was responsible for
the personnel package
decision?
Right. Was David Johnson supposed to be in there? But Kirby was like, no, he can't go in now. I'm talking to him. He's not going down. I mean, if you're Steve Wilks, you'd be like, what?
Well, get
his ass out there.
Override.
Override, yeah.
Coach. Override.
Right, the running back's coach is trying to say he can't go in, I'm trying to explain something to him, explain it later.
Man, that is.
Whoever was in charge of the personnel decision on that play screwed up that game because they could have won that game. 3rd and 2, David Johnson. Now, again, that's a terrible play call, too, because it was a slow-developing play.
Oh,
it was a counter, and the Bears' middle linebacker jumped the route, and you potty-picked him up, and it left the other guy free to make the tackle.
Yeah. I mean, you had 2 plays to get 2 yards. You needed 10 more yards to be in field goal range and win that game. It's just the whole thing, everything about that just blows my mind. Their playoff hopes, well, they're officially done. But that doesn't mean the Diamondbacks still can't have a say in the National League race, and there is something on the line these next 3 games. We'll tell you what it is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.
The final series at home of the season for the Arizona Diamondbacks begins in less than an hour. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Three games against the LA Dodgers as this is D-backs on deck here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Diamondbacks taking on LA tonight live from Chase Field, and it's time for your pitching matchup. It's brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com, BURGSimpson.com. In other circumstances, this would be a heck of a pitching matchup tonight. It still can be. There's just not much on the line for the Diamondbacks. Robbie Ray getting the start, 6-2, 3.92 ERA against Clayton Kershaw, 8-5 with a 2.45 ERA.
You know, I mean, Clayton Kershaw on the mound trying to help the Dodgers win a sixth division title in a row. Colorado right on their heels after Colorado swept the Arizona Diamondbacks three games here. Robbie Ray, 7-3, 2.63 ERA, 25 earned runs and 85 innings pitched, 195 opponent's batting average. I mean, Robbie has really come on strong after a slow start. He's pitched a lot better, which gives you a lot of hope for the future, too, because he came in as the 1-2 punch with Zach Greinke, but obviously missed a lot of time with the injury. But I am encouraged by the fact that he's pitched well. He's 4-0. With a 2.19 ERA, 9 earned runs in his last 37 innings pitched, 211 batting average, 62 strikeouts in his 6 starts against the Dodgers.
Yeah, he has pitched much better as of late, and I think you're right. That's very, very encouraging. The Diamondbacks lineup tonight. Before I read you the lineup, I want to play you this soundbite from Torey Lovello. This is Torey pregame today, the manager of the Diamondbacks, who were officially eliminated yesterday. The wild card NL West, it's done, it's over for the Diamondbacks. But with these three games against the Dodgers, these games matter for the Dodgers. They matter for the Colorado Rockies. And Lovello said he talked to Bud Black about the lineups he's going to roll out there these next three games.
I just called him yesterday, and I just wanted to make sure he knew what my thoughts were. And even though the lineup may look like we weren't doing what we were supposed to do and hold serve for him the best way we could, that we were. You know, our team is a little emotionally spent. I think we've all felt that for the past 3 weeks. And you know, what happened the other day when we put those extra players in the game gave us a lot of energy, and I just explained to him that would be the reason for doing that.
So tonight's lineup does not have Paul Goldschmidt at first base. It's Christian Walker. Tonight's lineup does not have David Peralta in left. It's Socrates Brito. It's Owings, Escobar, Marte, Walker, Ahmed, AJ Pollock, Socrates Brito, John Ryan Murphy, and Robbie Ray is your lineup tonight. Lovello was asked why no Goldie tonight.
So I told Paul, and he probably doesn't even remember, I said the day that we're eliminated or we win, you're not playing the next day, no matter what. I don't care who we're playing, what the matchup is. So I just wanted to get him off of his feet. And he's carried the workload here long enough. And look, we're not playing for the same goal that we were a week ago. And it was just made a lot of sense to give him that day off.
Well, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I mean, Goldie, September, the batting average is good. But he's only got 2 home runs and 5 RBIs in the entire month. That's what 70 at bats. 70 at bats.
Mm-hmm.
2 homers, 5 RBIs. You know, I had said early in the season that, you know, when Goldie was struggling, that I think the one thing that's going to be affected the most is the RBI numbers. I thought he would still get his home runs. I thought he could get his batting average up to 280. The fact that it's, you know, 294 is a, you know, big credit to him that he was able to really come on strong, and his batting average is 294. But the RBIs this year for Paul Goldschmidt, he's at 83. Last year he had 120. So he's 37 RBIs off of what he was last year.
That month of May was a big reason with
it
that.
It was,
right?
And that's why, you know, that's why the one thing that I did say about Paul Goldschmidt, that I didn't say he was done. I never said he was done. I said that that he wasn't going to be able to put up typical Paul Goldschmidt numbers, especially with RBIs. And he'll probably finish. I mean, if a couple more, maybe he can get a couple more, get to 85, 86 RBIs. Yeah. But he's not going to have a typical year of driving and runs the way we're used to, accustomed to.
We'll have Torey on the show tomorrow at 2:30. I'll be really curious to ask him about this fine line that he feels like he has to walk now in explaining to Bud Black, the manager of the Rockies, hey, we're trying, we're doing our best. Our lineups, I hope you recognize that it might not reflect it with some of the decisions we're going to make. We are still trying our best every single game. And Bud Black, apparently, understanding of that.
I have a good enough relationship with Buddy where he said that same thing to me. He said, I respect what you do, and you know the pulse of what's going on a daily basis inside of your clubhouse. And he goes, I'm not trying to get there. And whatever you have to do, Torrey, I trust that's what's going to happen. I just said, you're going to probably see some different names in there. Just know that we're not throwing any part of the game away. We're trying to win every single game we play.
Good of Torrey to have that upfront conversation with him. Yeah. Kind of try to explain to him. I think that's good.
Rockies are playing the Phillies. The game just started. They got the Phillies. The Phillies are out of it now. Okay, the Phillies are out of it. They're done. They've been eliminated. But the Rockies are one game out in the loss column. One in the loss column. They've got this series against Philly. The Dodgers have the series against the Diamondbacks. The role for the Diamondbacks right now is real simple. Ruin the Dodgers season.
No doubt.
Ruin their season. This is your goal. I mean, that should be a great goal. I mean, it really should. Help the Rockies. Now you helped them by letting them, they won all three games.
Yes.
That helped the Rockies. But they are one game out of the loss column with the Dodgers. The Rockies playing the Phillies. You're playing the Diamondbacks, playing the Dodgers. If they could beat them 2 out of 3, maybe you help the Rockies tie it and send it into the final series with it up for grabs.
The good news is that there is only one very extreme circumstance in which the Dodgers can clinch the National League West here in these next 3 days. And that is if they sweep the Diamondbacks and the Rockies get swept by the Phillies.
And I was very worried about that. You know, I was very worried. I did not want to see a scenario where the Dodgers celebrated here. I feel better about it now. I do feel better about it now.
I think you should feel better about it. It's kind of a long shot.
I do feel better about it now, yeah. The difference in the series, Colorado's got a 4-game series with Philly, where the Dodgers only have a 3-game series. So that's the 1-game difference. So Colorado's at home for the next 4 against the Phillies, while the Dodgers are here. So the Dodgers are going to get an off day on Thursday. So they don't play on Thursday. Then Friday will start like the final series, which the Dodgers will be at San Francisco, who are going to want to beat them.
Oh, yeah.
And so that bodes well. And then Colorado is home against Washington.
That's
so
right.
Colorado is home for the rest of the year. The Dodgers are on the road for the rest of the year. So the Dodgers here in Arizona, then at San Francisco. Two teams that hate them.
Yeah.
Hate them. They hate them. So they're going to try to beat them.
And as long as the Diamondbacks can win one game or the Rockies can win one game, the Dodgers will not celebrate here. And that is something to achieve. A look at the standings brought to you by the Negrete Law Firm, Arizona's hometown law firm, at negretelawfirm.com. The Dodgers lead the division with an 87-69 record. Colorado a game and a half back. One game in the loss column, as you mentioned, at 85-70. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, 79-77, officially eliminated, need to go, what did I say? They need to go 3-3 to finish with a winning record. 2-4, and they finish 81-81.
Listen, they were first place every month, right?
The stat.
May, June, July, August, September. And
yeah, it was an amazing way of looking at it. But yeah, the Arizona Diamondbacks were in first place in the NL West April 1st, May 1st, July 1st, August 1st, and September 1st. And they got eliminated yesterday. Let's get a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I'm a huge key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by your Valley Chevy dealers, the most awarded and fastest growing brand 4 years in a row. Find your Chevy today. Visit valleychevy.com.
Gambo, D-backs are 9-7 against the Dodgers this year, 5-2 at home. Play with pride. Play with pride. Try to knock the Dodgers out. Try to help the Rockies. So there's no key. Robbie Ray's done a good job. He's got to pitch well. Should be a really good pitching performance, and they've had success against the Dodgers. Just go out there and play with some pride.
All right. Very depressing, by the way, to mention that about the Diamondbacks. April 1st, May 1st, July 1st, August 1st, and September 1st, they were in first. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.
You've been listening to D-backs On Deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.